Good morning. Today, this is Collissum interview series, Beyond Revenue, Bringing Purpose to Brand. We are where conversations grounded in purpose bring industry insight. Today, I have Nathan Stuck with me. I'm so excited to get this party started because it's going to go off the rails. I can already tell. But before we start, I love to frame the conversations for our listeners. Is that okay with you, Nathan?
Absolutely. Off the rails we go. Not yet.
Righty. So, purpose-driven companies go beyond their role of offering a product or a service to develop programs that have a social or environmental impact. Social entrepreneurship is bringing more meaning to what businesses do, and it's an exciting trend to explore if one wants to make a difference in their career and in their company, and dare I say, the planet. We believe in the quadruple bottom line, which can be expressed as profit, people, planet, and purpose. It's a lot to
Love it.
digest. Let's let that land for a moment.
Love it. I love the movement to the quadruple bottom line too, where I'm like, triple's forgetting something, purpose.
Or yeah, we are evolving. We sure are. So Nathan, I'm going to introduce you first. So Nathan is an award-winning leader in the B Corp community. In addition to his role as founder and CEO of Profitable Purpose Consulting, a certified B Corp, he has also founded and chairs Be Local Georgia, a nonprofit dedicated to growing the number of purpose-driven businesses in the Peach State. That's Georgia for you, if you don't know that. Nathan is an outspoken advocate of B Corp. I'm so excited I can't speak, of B Corp curriculum in higher education, serving on the board of B Academics, and teaching an experiential B Corp class in the MBA program at his alma mater, the University of Georgia. Welcome, Nathan. How are you today?
Anytime I'm talking about B Corps, I am great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. And so we were just saying that you've got your wall of Georgia behind you. You have your furry friends around. You have recently launched your organization. Well, before I get into that, everyone has a different definition of purpose. Can you tell me what your definition of purpose is?
Yeah, it's a great question. Purpose to me is meaning. Is having, I'm literally like had this idea last year to work on a book, and it was, and I didn't know what I was writing other than my story, and it came out of like this journey I've been on in my life to find something that was got me excited to get out of bed on Monday, that something that felt like I was doing something that was changing the world. And there's a lot of jobs I think out there that you're doing something important. I worked at Enterprise, somebody got in an accident, they need a car, and you're for them, you are solving a problem, but there was just no real purpose, no meaning, no higher calling, no world-changing legacy that I was leaving behind. And so for me, purpose is that finding meaning in whatever you're doing is I don't know, that might be too simplified, but I think that's and it can be, in the business sense, it can be a traditional business, but how do you help your employees find purpose in their work beyond just tasks 1 through 6 that they do every day and that we're going to do every day for, 40 to 45 years of our life until we hopefully retire?
I've been saying lately is that, it's stepping beyond the transaction. Really, there's not much quality of life if you are acting in transaction. The beauty comes when you're acting from relationship. And so I like to ask the question, in a business, how are your clients, your consumers, your target market, how is their life transformed for having engaged with you?
It's a great question. And it's been super, I started the company in January of 21. I went out on my own full time about a month ago. And it's so neat to, some of my clients from last year were getting, towards the end of the year, we submitted their assessments. So now they're getting into the verification part. And it's been so cool to see them eat the dog food you gave them. Like, everybody says eat your own dog food. But there's, when you're making the recommendation of, hey, you're getting to this size, and I've been at this company, I've seen this kind of growth, Like you're getting ready to have an HR person who can handle that. Your people will need an in-house HR. And then 6 months later, we have to reconnect to kind of get through the rest of the process and, meet Amber. She's our new HR person. And you're like, oh my God, they're listening to me. And even the other day I had one where I'm doing some mission, vision, values consulting with somebody who's starting to see some growth. And at the end of it, and we're going through this and I've done workshops and I've done these things and I'd never really done paid mission, vision, values consulting. And at the end of it, he told me, this was the most valuable 2 hours I've ever spent with a consultant. And you're like, oh my, but I helped him kind of narrow down. And all we got to was core value number one of what the company does and what they stand for. And it was just such a powerful moment. And A, it reinforced that, like, A, I made the right decision. But it also just told me that, like, I have the power not just to help usually the CEO or the president it's going to be their passion project because it's their company, but I get to help their team through the actions I can get the CEO to take, benefits, policies, strategies, philosophies, like how they look at the business, how they approach their team, how they value their team. I can take a good company and make them great. And they're, through the transitive property, I'm helping those employees live a better experience, find more purpose in their work. And that to me is the goal. I've always joked that my mission in life is to create more jobs that don't suck. So even the traditional job, how do you do that? And
Tagline.
it's, yeah, exactly. That's gonna go on my tombstone. Nathan
Ask
sucked.
you to pause for a minute because you can go down the rabbit hole pretty quickly. So let's go high 360 level around. So you said they're taking their assessment. So I presume you're talking about a B Corp assessment, and you are preliminarily introducing an organization with an intent to get closer to prepare to eventually become one. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's called the B Impact Assessment. It's free. It's a cool tool. Even if you have no plans to ever certify, it's go through and start benchmarking and establishing KPIs. That exercise alone is super powerful. But yeah, you take the assessment and I think there's a possible 200 points and you have to get to 80. So my fellow math in their head people right now went, wait, that's a 40. That would be a strong F. Be an F you can be proud of. You really didn't prepare for this test. But no, 80 is really hard to get to. And once you get above 80, you can actually then submit. And then you have to verify, I mean, that's what I'm going through right now with a couple clients from last year, like upload da 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 and all your employers and our sorry, employees and different demographics and suppliers, how local are they, how diverse are they, like. And so you're going through, and I mean, again, that's the cool part of the process is you have to go through and you're like, how much do we spend with local suppliers? And then you go through and you go, not much, and like, so then you get to go into like reverse engineering a strategy out of it. But yeah, that's the 30,000 foot view is you go through an assessment that is fairly tedious and detailed and you get above 80 and then you submit a lot of verification documents and upload a lot and you go through they call it a verification call. I call it an audit. And you go through that with the parent nonprofit B Lab that oversees all the standards. And then they tell you, yes, you're still above 80, or no, you're at a 76, but
Back again.
you'll find some more points and and then you can kind of re-enter the queue and make some improvements to the business and re-enter the queue and go for a surf. And then every 3 years you have to recertify to make sure that you didn't just like do a bunch of stuff to get the logo slap it
Hang
on
it
a
on the wall
storefront.
and forget about it.
Yeah, I
Okay,
mean,
let's go back again. What's a
all
B
right.
Corp and why do I want to do it?
Ooh, great question. So B Corps, and there's a lot of confusion because there's also public benefit corporation legislation, I think in 39 states right now. So there is a legal requirement to a B Corp, but the incorporation status is something completely different. B Corp certification is the certification process I just detailed, but it is, I would describe it as what LEED is to a building, or certified organic is to milk. B Corp is to the entire business. So it's looking at your corporate governance practices, transparency, things like that. It's looking at your workers. So what kind of benefits do you offer? Do you pay a living wage? Do you pay a family living wage? If you have outsourced staffing, maybe a call center in the Philippines or Singapore, what are you paying, fair wages over there? Benefits, parental leave, adoption assistance, and you don't have to hit all of these. But you know, again, it's kind of almost like a menu where you can, here's, you have to find 80 points in the menu. And then there's a community section, which obviously social impact, strategic impact, percent, talent, pro bono services.
Love that. It doesn't always just have to be money. It can be the others, which is people sometimes forget that. They're like, I can't do
Follow-up.
that yet. I can't afford that yet. Many
Even pro
ways.
bono. Yeah. I mean, even through like nonprofit boards, people are like, I don't have time to volunteer. I'm like, you don't, it doesn't always have to be Nathan the crazy person walking around his neighborhood with a trash grabber, you know, or, you know, going to the food pantry. You can serve nonprofit boards, and I don't notice it. I think I've hit 300 hours this week on the year already volunteer time, because I track it, because again, I'm tracking it like a KPI, so it's something important to me to make sure that I'm doing. So community also has the a lot of the diversity, equity, inclusion pieces in it. So, you know, what percentage, and it's all forms of diversity. It's age, it's gender, it's ethnicity, it's race, it's, you know, are you being intentional? And that was a very valuable process at my old job, of going through and kind of having to look yourself in the mirror and go, we're not where we want to be, and then design a strategy to get where you would want to be. There's a section on environment, which is very self-explanatory, but you know, carbon footprint, scope one, scope two, scope three emissions, water usage, energy usage. And you know, they ask questions like, you know, everywhere from like, do you track it? And then the top one might be, not only do we track it, monitor, and have it as a KPI, but we've set reduction targets. And that will be like the maximum point value for that question. And then the last one's customers. So like, how transparent are you with clients about what you're using data for, or people that visit your website? What do you collect data on? Do you have a customer success team? Do you have customer guarantees? You know, how, you know, again, on the full cycle of, from everything from how you kind of founded the company and how it's run all the way to customer experience is a pretty powerful tool. So you're really going through all the key facets of your company, not necessarily just, you know, like revenue and sales and the traditional trackables that we
And
like
these
to
will
track.
all these new pieces under the B Corp will help you to blank and benefits you by blank.
It will help you by beginning to track it. I mean, and track more than you think. I think it will also, the tracking piece helps you. I mean, how do you improve if you don't know what your current state is? You know, people will tell me all the time, oh, we do all this cool volunteer stuff. They put the pictures on the, you know, on their social or whatever, of here's us with the dog adoption event. And then when it comes time to really look at, like, how much of your time did you really commit to the community? And then you do, and I've had clients like this, and you do the math and you're like, it wasn't much, you know, but in their head, it's like, we do these things and it's important to the business. And I'm like, well, if it's important to the business, it's important to you, and we want to put this in an annual impact report, let's set a target. Let's say 1% of revenue, which is kind of a standard 1% for the planet. There's Pledge 1%. There's a lot of organizations out there around 1%. So, okay, what does 1% look like? And if it can't be revenue right now, could it be like Pledge 1%? It could be time. It could be equity, you know, revenue, equity, money. It could be, and it could be, sorry, a per, like pro bono consulting services, product. So how do we get to that? Well, how do we get to that 1% number? And then we can, now we can look at like, okay, what does it look like? And now we can even peel it back even further and say, okay, business owner, like, I came, my previous job was in consulting, specifically Salesforce. So when are the lulls in the business? So then, okay, I know when the lulls are historically, when we kind of low on billable hours and backlog, where now it's like, okay, let's plan something for that month
Oh,
company-wide. So
smart.
starting to,
Okay.
yeah, where you can start to really be strategic about it. It's possible. It just takes a lot of intentionality, even, you know, getting into some of the DEI stuff of, you know, looking even further upstream. What does our applicant pool look like? Okay, and if our applicant pool isn't what it looks, what we want it to look like, where are we recruiting? What does our job description look like?
Right.
Continue to just peel those layers back, and now try things and see, did the number increase? Are we closer to where we wanted to get? Okay, let's turn the dial up on that. Or no, it had no impact. Let's try a different variable. So really, I think it's taking a business problem-solving approach, but applying it to that, you know, the other three components of that quadruple bottom line.
Right. And how often do you, so there's certainly, you can plan some goals, you can take some action steps today. It reminds me of what I would do is a strategic brand plan for 3 years. We're almost always working at 3 years at once. So we're delivering today. We are laying the foundation for 2023, and we're doing some thought leadership about 2024. So when people say, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the budget for that, I always think about, the latte factor, like cost per use. What is the unroll? Like we're this is an investment, it's an asset on your paper and on your books that shows that we're working on 3 years at once. So when you're having these conversations, how often do you suggest that they check their metrics? Is it quarterly? Is it monthly? How often does this conversation need to be had?
I would say quarterly. I think at the very least, like, 'cause it, trend line wise, for something like volunteer hours, if you have a set target where you want to hit 1% of revenue and you're not checking that, I mean, even for me, like, I would at least refresh the report probably once a month and just kind of, and then just do simple math of like, okay, we're at the end of February. We have 280 hours divided by two. That's 140 times 12, and so I'm like, okay, we're only on target for on pace for 1500 hours. I hope that math was correct. We're only on target for trending towards 1500, and our goal is 2200. So, hey, and then I can go to, the C-suite and say, hey, here's what we need to do. And hey, we're going to do this event in April. Boom. Like, and so I think tracking those numbers regularly, and anytime you have a big hiring rush, analyzing the resumes coming in, it helps. The bigger the company, the more tools they can afford, like a Salesforce or something where you can start building dashboards. But even something as simple as, if you have somebody dedicated to this role, or you have your in-house HR person that can start to track applicant data. But there are a lot of free, different tools and, much more affordable versions of like Gusto and things for HR, and where, you can start to track the demographics of who's coming in, who's applying. So, but I, yeah, quarterly at the very least, because that way too, you still have time to pivot. And then at the end of the year, it's okay, what are we looking at for? Where did we end up in 2022, and what do we want in 2023? Because, it has to be a journey. You'd love to say that, like, okay, we're whatever, 75% white men, we're in the IT industry, whatever that number is, but we want to get it down to 40%, whatever your target is. But like, you're not going to get from 75 to 40 overnight. So that kind of 3 year vision of like, okay, by the end of this year, could we be to 65%, and could our applicant pool look like, and then you start getting all the sub KPIs that you need to do to hit that target. And then if you're tracking them all regularly, you can pivot much quicker than waking up at the end of the year and going like, we didn't do anything. Just like you would with sales, you're looking at that pipeline, you're looking at that funnel, you're looking at the close rate. It's the same thing, just with KPIs that are a little more non-traditional to a traditional business school education.
And so that makes me think, like, so I mean, I want to make sure that you and I aren't drinking our own Kool-Aid, because we clearly believe in purpose, quadruple bottom line, in making an impact, in taking care of human beings. Why do people choose to become a B Corp? And are there advantage, like, so it's credibility, it's why do people choose to do it if you know nothing about it? Start from like education, day one in class, in your experiential class, day one, what is, why do you want to do this?
Well, after they get a spirited lecture on Milton Friedman, I haven't even that's I have to bring him up at least once. My honestly
We'll put them in the
is I
resources.
yes. So the best is that I wrote something after my first ever lecture last year. It was my first year fully teaching, and I came home and I had them read a bunch of Milton Friedman articles, and the Friedman Doctrine and shareholder primacy, and businesses are in the business of doing business. And he makes this argument that, consumers and employees will decide that they'll be the death blow to the social enterprise, because consumers want the product the cheapest, and employees want to work for the company that can make them the most. And companies dabbling in this do-good stuff, they're wasting company resources, they're wasting money. And I came home and I just simply, like, in my class, we're like, ooh, that was a heated discussion with, I'm like, do we offer them any grace because it's 1970? And they're like, nope. And I've got a bunch of basically maybe some young millennials, but at the pretty much, even in the MBA program now, I mean, the oldest Gen Z is 27, so you're dealing with Gen Z. And they were like, no grace at all. And so I came home and I wrote, I'm just like, Milton Friedman was right. He was just wrong. He was right. It was consumers, it was employees, but the direction was the opposite. They would rather pay a little bit more, and there's research to support this. They would rather pay a little bit more to have a product that they know came from a company that pays its team well, that it is committed to serving the local community, that gives back in the community, that supports economically their community by sourcing locally, which also then, has an environmental component to it. So, I think that what you're seeing is Gen Z. Millennials never really liked the system, and I'm an upper cusp millennial, which is my keyword for older. And we never really liked the system, but we took our parents' advice to keep our head down and do our work, and good things will come. And then Gen Z showed up, and they were just like, "Burn it all down. We're done. I'm good."
I love the generational studies. It's fantastic
Oh,
how it evolves.
yeah, and honestly, that's where millennials found their voice. Was I think Gen Z being in the room, and then all of a sudden we're behind them, like, "Oh man, we have." And now you think about it, it's like the oldest millennial's 41. So you're like, basically, we have half of the employment market and a lot of disposable income, and we're spending it. We're voting with our wallet. We're voting with where we work. And I think that has been the paradigm shift, is that this is no longer a nice to have, it's a must have. And it's not gonna, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, I mean, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but my parents, like that boomer generation is.
We were doing the best we could at the time based on the environment we lived in. It is a different world now, and they are speaking to it. So I see the B Corp can be a simple look on the box, look on the website. Is there a tag? It's a tag to point out to them, oh, I'm going to look twice because I'm going to choose this over that because of that, because of
Yes,
the B
and a
Corp.
lot of people don't know, necessarily know as much as I do. They don't know the five
Sure.
sections, and
Right. This is
but
all
they
about
still,
this education of that's what this is all about today. It's
it's
just
like LEED.
here's
Do you,
why.
yeah, it's like LEED. When you walk into a building, Claire, do you know what, like, when you see LEED Platinum, you're just like, "Oh, I bet it's pretty energy efficient." Like, I don't really know what
No.
goes into certifying the building. I just know it's a good thing, and that whoever put this building up was very intentional about how they did it and what components went natural lighting. And that's about all I know, but I'm like, good on you. And I think the B Corp has gotten to that same point too. And the other piece of that puzzle of the why do companies do it? Why should I do it? Why should I look at it? I'm like, have you watched? Well, I know now with Gen Z, they don't watch TV, but even streaming services, have you seen a commercial lately? Have you seen a corporate annual impact report? Can you tell what's complete, you know what? We'll use Biden malarkey. What's complete malarkey and what's authentic? Like, it's impossible to tell. Like, I see commercials and I'm like, great, representation matters, but I'd love to see your annual impact report. I'd love to see the board of your company's diversity. I'd love to see your C-suite's diversity, but the ad sure looks like you guys got it and you're doing all the things. Oh, and you're going to be carbon neutral by 2050. Great, but like, I'd love to see what you're actually doing and some of the processes. So I think it's also a way, in an era when every company has this commitment to everything that they are like, society seems to care about this now. I think it's a way for companies who legitimately do care to break through the greenwashing, woke washing, just clutter and noise machine.
They've made the effort. There are credentials behind it. There is a acknowledged proof in the pudding that they've gotten that. Yeah.
And you deserve that recognition as a bit. If you're a business owner listening to this and you're doing the right things, you deserve that. You don't deserve to be drowned out by some company with a bigger marketing budget putting lipstick on a pig. Like, you deserve the recognition, so go get it.
And I think there is, they will, this these generations will take them down. And we'll call them out if they find the data that shows that it is not correct. You can't hide out anymore.
Especially
And
employees, by the way, lived experience, reality versus like wished reality by the C-suite of like, no, your people know what they're living. They know whether you're treating them well and paying them fair. Like, and the Gen Z, like, they talk about their salaries. Like, they know,
all the things you're not supposed to talk about.
they don't
They're like,
care. There
and
are
that
they
doesn't work anymore.
they're not playing by the old Milton Friedman playbook or rule book. They're just kind of like, this is what we do, and if I'm going to work here and give you a good bit of my life, then this is just how we're going to roll. And so, do you want us to work for you or not? So I think it's kind of cool.
I was just on a hike yesterday with a fellow generational. I'm 52, similar gal. We were talking about choosing clients and choosing companies to work for. And the base of everything underneath it is value alignment, energetic alignment, and transparency and authenticity. I don't care how phenomenal your product or service is. If those other pieces aren't there, it won't work. Like we will just butt heads. And so choosing choosing to volunteer your time, to work with organizations, to take on clients, to really give it some deep thought to what's the why behind that. And that is that I want to make a difference in the world. I want it to live beyond me. I want it, you know, the more my business succeeds, the more my clients succeed, the more people are out living healthy lives, the generations to come. So this is that, you know, I love to look at the previous hierarchy of, what is it, hierarchy of rules? Maslow's.
Yeah, Maslow, yeah.
Filing cabinets, a little stuck. Maslow's hierarchy of rules, he actually had more research that just didn't get into print before he passed away, which has since been revealed. And that comes into this transformative time of moving beyond yourself to look at humanity. And so that's where this has begun. And I'm loving seeing it. It is not, we are still at the early stages of it. There are, it's still unusual. And so I think of this very much the tool of education. It doesn't have to be revenue or purpose. It's both. And there's a lot of data that proves that when you hit this quadruple bottom line, your company will grow faster.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. And, you know, I think too long in the B Corp world, we've been afraid to talk about ROI because, you know, even my old CEO, who's probably a more traditional business, you know, business mindset, when asked why did he do it, he was like, because it seemed like the right thing to do. And then people would be like, was there an ROI from your B Corp? He's like, probably. You know, I mean, I was there from 8 to 150 employees, you know, I'm like, there, it wasn't bad for business, but could we like boil it down to like 6.7% increase year over year? And it's like, no, we just knew it was, but you talk to our salespeople and like, yeah, I get meetings because people are intrigued about B Corp. We get, you know, and employees like, why'd you come to work for us? I love the fact that you're a B Corp. Even though when you ask them like, hey, what's a B Corp? They're like, we volunteer. Like they
well,
don't.
There's
they
a
don't...
great opportunity to educate your staff. Like I say this all the time is that people are offering good products and services. They're building community. They're even creating impact, but they actually forget to tell people about it. They forget to share. So I'm like, let's get loud. Like go back to the obnoxious cheerleading years and be like, you have to lead with that because we're, you know, chasing squirrels constantly. So the message has to be continually forward of we are anchored in purpose, and here's why, at both internally and externally. So communication teams internally, externally to your target market, and your, you know, your consumer, your database changes all the time. So you might have been, you know, a lead person, a change maker when you found it, but now 10, 20, 15 years later, people have forgotten. And don't just presume that they know. There are new people in the world who want to engage with you. And so to repeatedly and allow the story to evolve. So you may actually have that great data. You can share some of the stories of we started here and we got here and it took us 5 years. And that's, you know, very compelling information to say this doesn't happen overnight. And we're still committed to it.
And we owe it as purpose-driven leaders, purpose-driven leaders of purpose-driven businesses to share those stories because, you know, I met with a CEO recently of a pretty big company, regionally well-known, and they don't like to talk about the good they do and the environmental because they're just like, we do it because it's the right thing. And I, not only is it the recognition, and I make the argument, you know, ROI, if, even if you're not interested in it, you can scale your impact. If it's 1% of your budget and my budget doubles as the impact guy at the company, like, great. But also, when other companies see you doing it, you become the leader and the inspiration for other companies to get better because they see you being successful doing this. And they go, oh my gosh, we need, I mean, that's part of what I do with the B Corp work. I'm like, here are these big companies starting to do it. And it's like, they're doing it and they're getting all these accolades and awards and recognition. You can do the marketing piece well and tastefully without it being like, hey, look at us, awesome over here. And you can put the spotlight on the organizations you serve, you can put the spotlight on the environmental impact. You don't have to be braggadocious about it, you don't have to, you know, be all self-serving, but I think that that's a big piece that we overlook is like the inspiration to the other companies either smaller than us, behind us, competitors, to do better. And think of it almost with an abundance mindset of like, we all need to get on this page if we're really going to make change in the world. We can't just be the one that like, I don't want to help these other companies learn how to
no
do
such thing as competition, collaboration, abundance. There is so much. Perfect segue. Let us see your shirt. So everyone that's trying to read the wrinkles, make
Make
capitalism
capitalism.
work for everyone and for the long term.
Yes, that's what it's
Yeah.
all about. And that's where the abundance mindset, the rising tide lifts all boats, whatever you want to call it. I always make the pie analogy. Everybody protecting their little sliver of pie, but if we make a really huge, like Guinness Book of World Records pie, my little sliver becomes a giant slice of pie. And we're just, and everybody can eat, and we can spread that throughout the community. We can pay better. We can invest more in environmentally friendly, ways of doing business. And even more so, I think we can start to find economies of scale that make products done right more affordable, because that's still kind of the missing pieces. Like Pete and Jerry's eggs, I love it. The yolk's orange, but they're like $7, $8 a dozen. I can buy those, but most people are not going to spend that on eggs. My wife and I always joke, like, we're one job loss away from not eating these eggs
Losing our
anymore.
eggs.
So, like, there's a lot of, I mean, even a Patagonia sweater, it's a great product, but if, you have two or three kids in the house and you have to buy, winter clothes, like, it might be something cheaply made with, petroleum based, you know what, that you get at Burlington Coat Factory, because that's what you can afford. And so we have to get it to the point where we can make affordable products that are done the right way with wages done the right way. And that's still the kind of the next iteration.
As more and more get into this space, that will transpire. It is a piece of time. So I have one more question for you. So you are on a new journey with Profitable Purpose Consulting. Let's look into the future. How or who are you becoming? Like, let's, give me 5 years, 10 years, or just who do you aspire to become? So as you said, we can't put the toothpaste back in. You're doing phenomenal things today. Who are you becoming?
I would love to say, not even necessarily like from an ego standpoint, the leader in the space, especially in the Southeast. But I think I'd love in 10 years for people to say, like, wow, he's really made an impact in the Southeast, because, I mean, I'm still in a very, whatever you want to call it, more conservative region, more probably saltwater or freshwater economic, Milton Friedman school of thought of, lower taxes, deregulate, and let business do its magic. And I think being kind of the outspoken person that understands that world, understands those arguments, and can use them to raise awareness for B Corps and how, a lot of the same principles that they argue for are actually things kind of embedded into this. And it's also calling on businesses to say, hey, you can own this as much as and consumers and employees. And I tell my students that you have an incredible amount of power. So I think just raising that awareness over the next 10 years. Yeah, I'd like to make some money, but I mean, it's about the change that I'd like to see in the world. And the Southeast is still one of the more diverse pockets of the country. So we have an incredible opportunity to show the rest of the country, the rest of the world, what like real DEI work looks like, what real inclusion looks like, and economic opportunity for everybody. So yeah, I mean, I want to, in the next 5 to 10 years, I mean, obviously I'd love to grow my business. I'd love to hire, and I have a blank slate now for all the jobs I've ever had where I said I'd have done it differently, and now I can. But really, I just want to be, I want to be a change agent. I want to be somebody that people look at and go, like, I joke about some of my mentors, like, I want to be him when I grow up. I want to be her when I grow up. And I hope I have that impact on some of my students too, that they go out and no matter where they land, that they start kind of changing things from within. Because a lot of them do out of an MBA program like Georgia, they're going Fortune 500. But how can they change those companies as well? They need them.
That's wonderful. Well, thanks for being a leader in this space, and with your knowledge to facilitate the conversation. It's a conversation that needs to be had, and that is swell. There's a rising tide, a swell of it. So it's fantastic. So we have made it to my flash questions. So tell me, what was your last outdoor adventure?
Let's see. I'm like, okay, I have to go back through all my trips because I've been on that weird like B Corp networking tour. I'm like, do I count Acadia? Because we got
You count
basically
anything you want. You're stepping outside and you're outdoors, so I guess you
I
count.
will say we stayed at my wife and I have once a year we treat ourselves now to an under canvas trip, which is like one of those
Ooh,
like
yeah.
there's a fan. So
Fancy.
the Mighty Five in Southern Utah last summer, which has always been on my bucket list. And we
Where's
did all
that?
five. It's Zion, Bryce, Capitol
Oh,
Reef,
oh,
Canyonlands, and Arches. I
oh,
didn't know it was called the
nice.
Mighty Five either, but
Oh, I haven't heard that, but I've been
so
there.
we did all five of those and drove all over Utah. And then this summer we did Acadia, and I got to Acadia, and it was funny. Like it was whatever day we got in, Sunday, I think, into the actual to our like campsite, and they have this beautiful area overlooking. I think it's like an inlet or something. And I just sat there and just and I wrote and I read and then I wrote some more, and you know, and you're just watching the tide kind of, and all of a sudden here comes the tide, and I went down and looked at the tide coming in, and all of a sudden where we were walking earlier on the beach is now like underwater. And it was just one of those like magical, and of course the weather was beautiful. The next day we got to Acadia, and it's just rainy, and so you get up and like half of it's just in the clouds and you can't see anything. But that was a I would, and I didn't really adventure much. I just basically sat in an Adirondack chair and
And
wrote.
that's beautiful as well, of just the power of nature, of just absorbing it, being in the midst of it.
So, and we did Boise this summer too, which was awesome. So walking along the river, and I'd forgotten how beautiful Boise, Idaho is. So
I have
didn't
not been
get to.
there. You're going to have to stop into Vail next time you head west.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do Denver at least next year. I've got to figure out the 2023 networking tour, so find ways to take vacations and meet cool people while I do it is kind of the it's it makes
Yeah.
vacation so much more fun. And then they show you around, take you to their favorite brewery. It's a good time.
Awesome. And how about top of mind nonprofit?
Ooh, my own. Be
Sure, you
Local
can be, well,
Georgia.
sure. Yeah,
Be
tell us
Local.
about it.
Oh, we got Be Local Georgia. I started in 2018. We're fiscally sponsored, project of a nonprofit, just because I don't have time to do accounting work. But it's basically a community space, community organizer, whatever, awareness builder for B Corps in the Southeast. And we're a very like all-inclusive, you know, as far as like we collaborate with Conscious Capitalism, we collaborate with another organization called Go Beyond Profit. We collaborate with the Georgia Social Impact Collaborative, which are three other awesome nonprofits in Georgia that, you know, just basically build a big tent of like B Corp-ish, socially conscious, social enterprises, traditional for-profit businesses that want to do revisit the way they've done business, building that kind of just that tent for us all to share knowledge. And then the important part of the piece for me in that little ecosystem of nonprofits, collaboration. Best practice sharing, knowledge sharing, because if we all are in this together and we can create kind of a purpose-driven circular economy where we can keep as much of that money inside, guess what? We start to prove that this is a viable business model, because I think that proof of concept is still going. So yeah, so Be Local Georgia, there you go.
Fantastic. I love that. I just was facilitating a conversation the other day and someone said, I said, collaboration is how you grow, sharing knowledge. And I had an audience member say, well, you know, nonprofits are very tight and competitive. I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. Go play with someone else. Not everyone is that way. And yes, I love it. You're singing my praises. Fantastic. Great to hear it. I will list all those in the show resources. And finally, how about a favorite podcast that can inspire our listeners?
It's too.
I view like 10.
Well, I'm like, yeah, don't be
Don't
the
get me
change.
started.
But no, I have my own podcast. I'm like, Be the Change Georgia. No, so I do have Be the Change Georgia. It's focused on a lot of those players in that space, Partnership for Southern Equity, Startup Runway, all these crazy organizations that we have in Atlanta that are all, and it's weird how like the theme, I don't plan it this way. It's maybe just it's who my network is. The theme's become abundance mindset, where I feel like the last four guests have talked about abundance mindset, but that one. And then I would say what really got me into podcasting was Chat with Leaders,
Oh, I
that
haven't heard
Jeff
of that
Bond produced.
one.
Yeah, so he's out of Atlanta. He started podcasting during COVID and he got really good at it. His tagline's "Be a leader worth following." He was the first podcast I really was ever on, and he and I became friends. And then last year, he launched his own podcast production company called Chat with Leaders Media. And so he's been producing my B Corp podcast as his like
Love.
pro bono. And now it comes full circle. His company, that's about a year old, is one of the projects in my B Corp class at UGA. So, but yeah, he's just
Oh,
been
so you
any.
take on companies as projects in your classes.
Oh yeah,
Oh,
so
very
my
cool
yeah my.
opportunity.
Yeah, my B Corp class this semester, I do three lectures and then the students get projects. So there's six companies going through B Corp. And last semester, I think one of them's already certified, and we have three more in the queue. So yeah, I mean,
I love it.
it's been fun, and the students love it, and the class size grows every semester, and then other departments want me to guest lecture,
Coming
and
your way.
people want to audit. We'll take you. I mean, yeah,
I love
so
it.
be it.
I'm a lifetime learner. I can never get enough. I just need to quit accruing the student loans.
And it's
That's great.
it is fun. Well, yeah, and after yesterday's news, I know I'm like, okay,
I'm like, can I be a student again?
the rest of
Fantastic.
my MBA student loan, I haven't been paying strategically for the last 9 months. Like, let's see if this happens.
Awesome. Well, Nathan, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for, as I say, getting loud with me about purpose. Love chatting with you. We will hope to have you back again down the road to hear an update about your company and what's going on in Georgia.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate the ability, the platform, the audience to kind of let people who might not know about the awesomeness of B Corps and really just the awesomeness of the assessment, even if you don't want to certify, just to go through and start making your good company great.
Awesome. Thanks, Nathan. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Thanks, Claire.